Good day, Guardians, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. As always, I'm your host, Kid Kutcher, and I am excited to bring you yet another fantastic episode. This week, we are going to be talking all about the Season 17 weapons changes. Before we get to that, though, we do have some housekeeping to get out of the way. I hope that your day is going fantastic. Personally, I'm having a great one. Going to be doing some axe throwing for the first time ever, so looking forward to that experience. And I'm also looking forward to spending some more time in Destiny over the coming month. April's been a busy one for me, and I've not been able to dedicate the hours to it that I would have liked to. So I've got some catch-up to play here in May, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. All right, let's go to the housekeeping. First up, Patron's Corner. We do not have any new patrons to thank this week, but I do have a heck of a lot of existing patrons that I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks to for your ongoing support. You guys rock, and I just can't ever put into words how much I appreciate your generosity in continuing to support the show and everything that we're doing here to keep this community growing. And yeah, it's truly fantastic. I also want to throw a big shout out and thank you to the editing crew, to our hosts on the PvE show as well. They're putting out some quality content and doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes that you guys never see or hear about to continue to make Destiny Massive Breakdowns, you know, the name you can trust in your Destiny podcasts. That's what we're aiming for here. All right, speaking of patrons that I would like to say thank you to, there are a few, as you know, that I thank by name. These are our sponsors. They give with an incredible level of generosity to support Destiny Massive Breakdowns. And they are Starscream S13, Askian Monk, Deacon, Black Hammer Tech, The Shazzle, Binary Wolf, This Moment 23, Conquer King 420, Zen SoCal. Thank you so much to all of you for the incredibly generous support that you've shown. I deeply appreciate it. All right, without further ado, let's move to the reviews. And there are a lot of them this week. No new patrons, but an absolute mountain of new reviews. So I'm going to do my best to get through all of these. And I'm going to try to remember to breathe as I do it. All right, here we go. 5 stars. One of the, if not the, best Destiny podcasts available. Been listening for a long time, and the content is absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to support the podcast as much as I've wanted to due to being a broke college student, but the weekly uploads make my long drives back home something to look forward to. From GoldieYYXI via Apple Podcasts here in the US of A, thank you so much for your review. Truly, you know, if supporting the show financially is something that you want to do, obviously, I'm on board with that, right? Not going to tell you no. If it's not something that's in the cards or it's not something that you're interested in, that's all right. Leaving me a review does so much good. I can't express how valuable every single one of these 5-star reviews is to helping the show to continue to reach new Guardians every single week. So thank you so much, Goldie, for your review. Eyes Up, 5 stars. Fantastic show. Been listening for a few years off and on. This show always provides excellent content about my favorite game. Very much recommend for the casual or serious player. Crimson King here in the US of A. Thank you so much for that review. I appreciate it. Glad to hear you've stuck with us over the years. I know we've got a lot of new Guardians listening as well. We've also got some old school Guardians who've been with us for a long time. Most helpful and informational podcast you will ever find. 5 stars. Been listening for a month or two during work and can't express how much DMB has helped improve my gameplay. It's the little things that go a long way, and I've already noticed the changes in my gameplay from listening. Keep up the good work, and you'll always have my support. Saucy ZI here in the US of A. Thank you so much, Saucy, for that review. I'm really glad to hear that you are noticing a difference in your gameplay. That means a ton. That's the whole reason that we started this show, is we found that making small changes, looking at the numbers, was making a difference for us. And we thought, you know, let's put this out there for the world to see and see if this helps other people too. And here we are, years later, still at it and still helping people. So thank you so much for letting me know. Fantastic show, 5 stars. Really great for more PvP-oriented players, solid discussion on the meta. Master P here in the US of A. Thank you so much for that. This is a PvP-oriented show. Absolutely. If you're tuning in, expect to hear things from a Crucible point of view primarily. Obviously, I do play the whole game. I do talk about other parts of the game as well, but I am not an expert in those other areas, and that's not the main focus of this show. We do have the PvE, Podcast versus Enemies show, which is for all of the hardcore in-game PvE players, and it's also for people like myself to learn from people who actually know what they're doing in that part of the game. So, yes, you can definitely expect continued PvP content here. Looking forward to continuing to develop that down the road. Good informative podcast, 5 stars. Great information and a very organized production. J&M family from the US of A. Thank you so much. That actually is, that's one of those compliments that's a little bit more rare to hear. People are always talking about the things we talk about on the show, the content, how it helps them. Hearing that the organization and the structure that we've put it in is something that you appreciate means a lot to me, because it's not easy to get everything in the right order and to present it in a consistent manner. But I'm glad that it's paying off. Changes the Game, 5 stars. Massive Breakdowns has been an entertaining and informative listen for me for well over a year. If you're like me and don't always get to play Destiny as much as you'd like, the meta and weapons info here is extremely valuable. Logging into the Crucible can be scary, but it's made so much easier armed with this podcast. Thanks for the laughs and the longtime help, DMB. From Jerry 01357924 68 here in the United States. Jerry, thank you for that review. I'm really glad, as I said before, to hear that this is helping you, that it's making the Crucible less of a scary place. That's something that I've heard from a lot of new players over the years. The Crucible can be very intimidating. I was there myself many years ago when I was a new player. It is intimidating. It can be very punishing. And that's part of what we're aiming to change with Destiny Massive Breakdown. So I'm glad it's paying off for you. One of the best Destiny pods, 5 stars, very informative, love the hidden info behind every weapon and explanation of perks. Must listen. From HRMX Great here in the US of A. Thank you so much. Glad you love digging behind the scenes. You're going to get a lot more of it. Best show ever, 5 stars. Really cool data-oriented look at the game. I've learned so much about weapons and perks for Destiny PvP to where I can find weapons that fit the playstyle I'm going for. From Dingleberry 2 here in the US of A. The US sweeps the reviews this week. Absolutely just killing it, delivering for me. So thank you so much to all of you. Thank you, Dingleberry. And again, I can't say it enough. I'm really glad to hear that the podcast is helping you find guns that fit your playstyle. Just making the game simple, kind of pre-doing some of that work for you is part of the fun of Destiny Mass Breakdowns. It's part of what makes it fun for me. So, all right. We are closing in on the usual housekeeping timestamp here. And I've just got one last thing to share. I'm going to go ahead and play a little clip from one of our patrons who gave us a little shout out on the SpeakPipe.
Hello, Bryce Roney is my name, Bitmoji is my game, and Titans, they're my main. I've been a listener to DMB for about a full year now. My favorite thing about this podcast has easily got to be the community. The Discord that has grown along with this podcast has such a wealth of information and experiences that I benefit from on a daily basis. The friends that I've made, the info that I've gathered, the flame that I've received from using an absolutely mediocre plug one, it's just a wonderful time. I would strongly recommend that if you're a listener here and you haven't had the chance to swing by and say hi, it's a great time. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Bryce Roney, for leaving me that message. Just a joy to listen to. for those who don't know, those who aren't in, Bryce Cerrone is a legend in the Patrons Lounge in Discord for his Bitmoji replies and takes. They are truly, truly a gem. Thank you, Bryce Cerrone, again. Patrons, just want to remind you that link is there, and I will be updating what I'm looking for out of that with the new month. So be watching for a new post. If you are a listener and you want to become more engaged, you want to learn more, you want to connect with other Guardians who value playing the game and doing so based on information and statistics and science and just kind of like knowing, you know, the best perks, the best abilities, the best of everything. Or if you just want to like talk to those Guardians and like have them tell you what the best stuff is without having to be an expert yourself, the Destiny Massive Breakdowns Discord is the place to be. It is jam-packed with just incredibly helpful, incredibly smart Guardians who are always talking about the game and how to make things better, how to adapt to the sandbox, the PvP sandbox, and the PvE sandbox. And if you're a patron, there's a special secret channel where you can be treated to some of Bryce Cerrone's Bitmojis, among other entertaining conversations. And perhaps the occasional secret event, which we can't discuss. You never know. All right. That said, let's move on. We've got a lot to talk about this week, and I'd like to try to get through all of it in a timely fashion. So like I said before, this week we're going to be talking about the Season 17 weapons changes. Now I want to clarify, I'm going to be talking about the global and legendary weapon changes. I'm not going to get into the exotic weapons. It's just too much for me to cover in a single episode, or at this point in two episodes, since we're still working through that same TWAB. They just jam-packed so much stuff in there that has to be addressed that it's going to take me at least another week, I think, to get through all of it. We'll see. Maybe even one more. Glaives deserve an episode, and I think we're going to be ready for it in a couple of weeks here. Okay, with that said, let's talk about weapons. Now, one of the first things that I just want to remind everyone about is that Bungie has announced that they are going to be redoing the weapon stat scales. They're going to be running from 1 to 100, and they're going to be updating this for all weapons. What this means is that the weapon stats spreadsheet, when Season 17 launches, is going to not have the correct stats. The numbers are all going to change. The effective stats should remain the same in terms of, like, if it's got good stability, it'll still have good stability. That's the expectation. But the scale that's displayed in the game is no longer going to match what I have, and I'm going to have to go through the API and pull all of those stats and update the spreadsheet. So it's going to take probably a while to get through that. When I do that, one of the things I am going to do is I'm going to drop all of the sunset weapons out of the spreadsheet just to save time and clean things up. The spreadsheet has gotten a little cluttered over the years. We've added a lot of weapons in. I'm going to narrow it down and focus it in to just those in-game PvP relevant weapons, i.e. the ones that are not sunset. There are still a lot of good sunset weapons out there. I'm not saying that that there aren't. I'm just saying that I'm not going to have them on the spreadsheet going forward. Yep, so just a heads up there. Okay, so let's get into the TWAB. We've got, first up, I'm going to go and do it in the order that they did it. So we're not going to go primary, special, heavy. We're going to talk about one-hit kills and special first. All right, so in the TWAB, they write, there are several damage buffs external to weapons that allow weapons to one-hit kill without much investment, such as an aggressive sniper rifle with high-impact reserves, Ariana's Vow or Le Monarch, specifically when combined with an external 20% damage buff. As an example, Empower and Rift can give many sniper rifles one-hit body shot capabilities in the Crucible. And of course, high-energy fire, emphasis mine, can make Le Monarch an absolute nightmare for people to play against. So, they continue, most of these use the same buff under the hood, so we've adjusted them all at once. With these changes, it's going to be much rarer to get an easy one-hit kill with a weapon that wouldn't typically allow it. So they've reduced the damage bonus for Empowering Rift, High Energy Fire, and Inertia Override from 20% to 15% just against players. So they're not changing this for PvE. You're safe. This is a PvP-only change. So I think this is probably a good thing. As much as I'm sad to see my Lamonarch ways go down the drain, this is probably for the best. It's probably healthy for the sandbox to reduce the number of easy one-hit kills that are available. That said, there are a few buffs out there that may still provide a 20% benefit. We don't yet know. However, Blessing of the Sky from Lumina and Boots of the Assembler is not mentioned in the TWAB, and I've not heard anything one way or the other on it. So I don't know if it is using the same buff or if it's a different buff. If it's still using the same buff, well, then it just got a lot better. So just something to keep in mind here. All we know for sure is that the ones that they have named are being changed. We'll have to wait for the final patch notes and see if they include any additional names. And even after that, we're going to have to do some testing. We'll see how it all plays out. But overall, we can safely expect that weapons will be getting fewer one-hit kills due to external damage buffs. They go on. In addition, we want special ammo to be less plentiful, making it more difficult to chain special weapon kills. They have disabled ammo scavenger armor mods in PvP. No matter how much ammo a player was carrying on death, if you pick up a special brick, you can only get one ammo for a shotgun or sniper rifle, or quote-unquote one kill's worth of ammo for weapons that require more than one shot to kill, such as Forerunner or Trace Rifles. This is brutal for weapons like Forerunner. It feels fairly harsh for Trace Rifles as well, to be completely honest with you. It's, I think, going to absolutely wreck those weapons in PvP. Forerunner already really wasn't meta. It's good. It's fun. But it's definitely... The ammo was already kind of a problem for it. And that's just going to continue. That said, this is going to hopefully push shotgun and fusion rifle players to be more efficient with their ammo. And it's also going to reward players who choose to run double primaries, say two different ranged primaries, because those players will be able to starve out enemies using special weapons. So those enemies might get a one-shot kill, but then they're out of ammo. And that makes half of their loadout, not counting heavy weapons, completely worthless. Then they're forced to rely on their primary. So it becomes a much more attractive strategy to me. Say pairing a pulse rifle and a sidearm. Suddenly a lot more appealing than it used to be, especially because people are going to be, you know, it's not just going to be me. People are going to be running out of special ammo on their own just because you get a lot less now. All right, so they've also retuned several special weapon archetypes and exotic weapons, with a general goal of reducing the effectiveness and uptime of special weapons. So we'll have to go through here and talk about some of the changes that they've made. I'm going to sum up a little bit. In general, shotguns and fusion rifles are responsible for almost all one-hit kills in PvP, the vast majority. And Bungie says the number is much higher than what they'd like to see. They still want them to be a viable option, but not ubiquitous in the way that they are. Less effective at multiple ranges and with less uptime in general. So, what are they doing to change that? All right, let's take a look. All special weapons have had their in-air accuracy significantly reduced. While we are okay with encouraging players to build into using their primary weapons more effectively in the air, we do not believe a prevalence of airborne one-hit kill options is good for PvP. Special weapons have a slightly larger airborne accuracy penalty than primary weapons at zero airborne effectiveness stat, reduced to zero at 100 stat. Special weapons have a similar airborne aim assist cone penalty to other weapons, around 50% at zero stat, and this penalty can be reduced but not entirely removed by investing in airborne effectiveness. So let's step back, and I want you to recall last episode when I reviewed accuracy and aim assist, I'm going to just kind of touch on it again briefly here. Just as a reminder, accuracy is the stat that determines how close to a straight line your shot goes in. Or rather, how far off from a straight line it goes in. Accuracy reduces with repeated fire and increases when you pace your shots or wait before firing again. It never increases beyond its initial accuracy. And that's about all there is to it. Aim assist is not accuracy. It is its own thing. It is two things. One, it has an auto-aim effect, which means that if a target is within your aim assist cone and you are within the effective range of aim assist, it will re-aim your shot toward the target. It will pull that shot closer to it. As was pointed out to me on Twitter, I don't want to confuse you. It doesn't curve the shot in midair. You're not gonna be bending the bullet in midair. It actually just fires toward the person, even if you're not pointed exactly at them. But it fires in a straight line. The other factor in aim assist is reticle stickiness. So when your reticle passes over a player, it will slow down as it approaches and moves onto them, and it will stick with them and tend to follow them. You can see this very obviously, just as a reminder, when you are aiming down sights at someone and another enemy player runs in front of you, pulling you off target. This effect is absent from mouse and keyboard. That's a controller-only effect. But both controller and mouse and keyboard have auto-aim. So they both have aim assist. It's just that if you had reticle slowdown and you're trying to use a mouse, the game would become very, very difficult to play. So that effect is left off for those players. All right, so I hope that makes sense. What does this mean for special weapons? All right, so first off, when you are in the air with your special weapon, it was already less accurate than when you're on the ground. That's true for basically every single gun in the game. Now they're going to be even less accurate. That means they're even less likely to shoot directly in a straight line and go exactly where you want them to do. Unless you completely max out your airborne effectiveness stat. For primaries, Bungie talked about pushing up to about a 30 to kind of get a baseline good accuracy in the air. And I think you're going to have to go higher than that for special weapons. You know, I think you probably want to aim for 40 or 50 at a baseline. If you really are using your special weapons in the air a lot, you're going to want to go higher. You're going to need to invest, especially because you also need to invest in that stat in order to have decent aim assist. 50% penalty to the aim assist cone is enormous. It's so big that it probably makes the aim assist cone smaller than the accuracy cone for most special weapons. What that means is that your weapon could actually, when you fire it, it could actually fire further off to the left, to the right, up, down, to the point that it actually fires outside of your aim assist cone, which means you would get no aim assist help and your shot would just kind of go off wildly into nowhere. So that's pretty serious aim assist penalty, especially you're already in midair, like we talked about. You're already getting an accuracy penalty. It's already harder to push that up for special weapons. They're starting lower, I should say, than primaries. And with primaries, you can actually completely get rid of the aim assist penalty by maxing out your aim assist stat. Special weapons, that is not possible. While you're in the air, they will always have slightly worse aim assist, even at 100 airborne effectiveness, which I have to say is a mouthful, and I'm probably going to start referring to you as AE just because it's too much. Anyways, what this means is that they are pushing you very strongly to play special weapons on the ground. Shotguns, you've got the slide, shotgun, melee, combo, and then fusion rifles, of course, have always been the easiest to use on the ground, just so that you can control the recoil. That's going to be even more important to keep in mind going forward. Speaking of other special weapons, though, let's talk about sniper rifles. Bungie says, sniper rifles are fairly slow to ready, stow, and aim down sights, which has made snapshot feel mandatory for many players. So, they've reduced stow, ready, and aim down sights times by 10%. In other words, all snipers are now snappier by default, and there is a matching change to snapshot. Sniper rifles have less access to ammo than shotguns and fusion rifles, because, of course, you're getting your kills from much further away. And so it's Bungie's opinion that ammo scarcity in general for special weapons will prevent sniper rifles from spiking with this buff. I think they're probably right about that. That said, with the changes to shotguns and fusion rifles, I would say that sniper rifles become a more attractive option for the Crucible. If you're not going to have a lot of special ammo no matter what you do, you might as well get that kill at a safe distance, especially if you're already decent at sniping and you've just been playing with a shotgun or a fusion rifle because they're super strong. So I think we may see some shift towards sniper rifles, but it's probably not going to be a major one. That said, we'll have to revisit the numbers when Season 17 launches. All right, let's talk about slug shotguns. So slug and pellet shotguns are overwhelmingly popular in PvP. If you've listened to any of our meta breakdowns in the past, you know that this is the case. It's not significantly changed since the last one, which is why we've not done another. So they have touched shotguns with the hope of encouraging some diversity in special weapon choice. This, I think, is going to be a big part of what pushes people to reconsider with shotguns. The effective range is getting pulled in even further. They say that the one-hit kill distance for shotguns should be pulled in by about a half meter. They're not affecting the spread angle here, just the damage falloff. So they're reducing damage falloff start and end by 1 meter, and reducing aim assist and magnetism falloff and start and end by 2 meters. Boy, that's something. I have to say that shotguns have been nerfed so many times over the last year. They're very unattractive to me as a weapon type at this point. They're still very easy to use, and that's all well and good. But between this and the change to stompies, I expect that a lot of formerly bouncy slidey hunters, may be reconsidering their playstyle. Some of them are going to stick with it. Some of them are going to stick with the lightweight shotguns. Doesn't matter that they have to be right on top of you to land the hit. They're just gonna do it, and that's fine. And shotguns are still going to be useful, but I have to say that this does make fusion rifles more attractive. This makes sidearms and submachine guns more attractive. This makes sniper rifles more attractive. So I would expect to see a pretty decent reduction to shotgun changes. I'm curious to see how that prediction ages for me. But I would expect to see them fall off by a decent amount. Okay, fusion rifles. So Bungie notes, fusion rifle use is just trending pretty high, particularly in trials. Cough, cough. XMI. Cough, cough. And bringing shotguns down a little would make them too good an option. You don't say. So they've made a global change to fusion rifles. With these changes, they believe that 20-meter plus fusion rifle one-hit kills should be very uncommon through a combination of damage, falloff, and recoil changes. There are a lot of buffs here, but I have to say, I feel like I'm going to have to visit with Lego LaFlash again in Season 17 and see if he can still drop a 50-meter one-hit kill, or if it is truly impossible. So what are they doing to fusion rifles? Well, they are reducing damage falloff near distance by 2 meters at zero range, which comes to about 2.7 meters when aiming down sights with a 15 zoom stat. And they're reducing damage falloff near distance by 1.3 meters at 100 range, which comes to a little over 2.25 meters with the same 15 zoom stat while aiming down sights. And they're reducing the damage falloff far distance by 1 meter at zero range, 1.35 aiming down sights, and by 1.3 meters at 100 range, which comes to 1.75 when aiming down sights. Okay, let's stop. There is a change also to the recoil scaler. I want to talk about this before we get into that. All right, one thing at a time. So what does this mean? So the damage falloff near distance, that is when the damage numbers for your weapon start going down. So that distance is coming in by between 1.5 and 2 meters for all fusion rifles. And if you are aiming down sights, then they're going to be hitting max damage at about 2.5 meters closer than they were before. 2.5 meters less range on average. And the damage fall off far distance is when those damage numbers floor out, when they hit their lowest point and they stop going down. And so that's going to be just a little bit closer, just, you know, about a meter closer in general, hip firing, but nobody's hip firing. They're going to be, you know, between 1.75, 1.75 meters shorter when aiming down sights. In practice, this will certainly rein in fusion rifles. This is going to, I think, unfortunately, reinforce the usage of the fusion rifles that have really good rolls, because anything you can do to push out your effective distance is now even more important than it was before. So go back, check out the fusion rifle episodes with me and Lego La Flash. Those are the fusion rifles, the ones we recommend there. Those are the ones that you want to be using. Anything else is even worse than it was before. And it is what it is, right? In order to rein in the strong ones, they unfortunately are also having to rein in the rest of them. Okay, next up. They reduced the recoil scalar variance between 0 and 100 stability. So at 0 stability, the recoil scalar stays at 0.75. At 100 stability, it increased from 0.5 to 0.55. In other words, the recoil penalty was slightly increased. In other words, again, your recoil will be slightly worse at max stability than it was before. This is a confusing one, I think, for a lot of people, but just to put it in layman's terms, what they're doing here is they're changing the scale of how much recoil a given fusion rifle has. So the floor, like the worst possible recoil that a fusion rifle can have, is staying the same. But the best possible, i.e. the least recoil that a fusion rifle could have, that's going to be slightly more than it was before. So you can expect pretty much every fusion rifle to just have a little bit more recoil than it previously did. And, you know, again, in terms of handling that, it all comes down to two things. Thumb skill, just managing that recoil by pushing forward on the thumbstick at the appropriate degree, or moving your mouse forward, you know, again, at the appropriate degree, kind of pushing down in order to balance that upward push from the gun, and whether or not you think you need a counterbalance mod, right? What's the recoil direction on the weapon? Do you need to help it? Pushing it higher is always important. Not always important. Pushing it up to a manageable level is always important for fusion rifles. And so it comes down ultimately to personal taste. Try it. If it's too hard to control, give it some more recoil direction. Improve that recoil direction. Try to get it to land on a 5 if you can. 75 and above, if it lands on a 5, it's usually fine. All right, and that's special weapons. So definitely some big changes, shaking things up there. Overall, I think that sniper rifles and close-range primaries are the biggest winners there, and I'm hoping that we do see some more variety coming in from those weapons. I do think that fusion rifles are going to get more popular as a result of this. I think shotguns are taking enough hits here that we might finally really start to see a more substantive shift away from them. Let's talk about primary weapons. All right, so they're making a bunch of changes to primary weapons. And it's quite a few changes. Well, let's see how many we can get through here. Hopefully all of them, and still have time for heavy weapons. So first up, auto rifles and pulse rifles aren't as competitive as we'd like at mid-range, and lightweight pulse rifles are too hard to use to hit their optimal time to kill. With these changes, we expect auto rifles and pulse rifles to better compete with hand cannons in mid to long range and outrage standard zoom submachine guns. That last bit, I'm just like, finally. They've been getting beat by high range submachine guns for too long, at least they'll have a fighting chance going forward. So auto rifles, they increase the damage fall off near distance by 0.75 meters. Again, that's where your damage numbers start going down due to being too far, the target being too far away. Pulse rifles, they increased damage fall off near distance based on the range stat. I'm curious what the thinking is in terms of why they didn't change it based on the range stat for auto rifles too. But I guess we'll have to wait for the next developer interview to find that one out. So what they say is that at zero range, lowest possible range for pulse rifles increased from 15 to 16 meters. At 100 range, the maximum possible range for pulse rifle increased from 22.5 to 24 meters. And as they note here, this is the hip fire falloff distance. It's multiplied by the zoom value to get the aim down sights falloff distance, which is, of course, the more relevant of the distances. So what is the minimum? Well, the minimum would be, let's say you have a 17 zoom stat on your pulse rifle. That's 1.7. So you would take 16 meters times 1.7, and we're probably looking at about 27.2 meters base. So that's pretty good. It's not bad at all. I take that back. It is kind of bad. But for the base, for zero range stat, that's okay. That's a good starting point. Okay, so what about on the high end? What does it go up to? Well, so we'd take 24 meters times 1.7 zoom. That would put it at 40.8. However, they do note that damage falloff far distance remains 40 meters regardless of the range stat. So there is a cap for pulse rifles. Damage falloff is always going to be capped at 40 meters. It's not going to get lower beyond that. Finally, they increased the lightweight 450 RPM pulse rifle damage per bullet from 15 to 16. And they note, with a 1.65 precision scaler, this will increase precision damage from 24.75 to 26.4. Again, as they note, this won't change the optimal time to kill in PvP, but will reduce the number of crits required. Bungie, I can't thank you enough for basically just doing my work for me. Answering the questions that I normally would need to be answering for me. Makes it very easy. So just to quickly revisit, add some context. Lightweight pulse rifles currently kill in 8 shots, 0.87 seconds. That's 3 bursts and change. I'm sorry, 3 bursts, but it's 2 2/3 bursts. And going forward, they're still going to kill in that same 0.87 seconds optimal, but this will allow them to kill in 7 crits and 1 body against, say, 8 resilience. I say 8 rather than the usual 6 because I do expect to see a lot more high resilience. However, it's still 7 crits, 1 body at 6 resilience. Now that's the optimal. Let's take a look at the accuracy adjusted time to kill here for lightweights. All right, so our accuracy adjusted time to kill will be 0.93 seconds with 5 crits and 4 bodies. And that's actually an improvement over the previous accuracy adjusted time to kill, which was still 0.93 seconds, but required 6 crits and 3 bodies. So essentially, the new changes are just going to make it that much easier. They're going to require 1 less crit, 1 more body. This is not a huge shift. This feels like a very, very light touch. I'm not sure this is going to do a lot to increase adoption of lightweight pulse rifles because it's not going to be significantly easier to get kills with them. And they've still got some stiff competition from high impact pulse rifles and rapid fire pulse rifles, both of which are either much faster or much easier to use. All right, next up, let's talk about zoom and let's talk about submachine guns. So zoom, they mention correctly, is too important to factor on submachine guns. Some would say it's almost the only factor on submachine guns. And they continue, submachine guns with low zoom don't feel competitive in PvP. Huh. We've reduced the variance in zoom, brought the base zoom up from 13 to 14, and extended the damage falloff distance. With this change, several standard zoom submachine guns will be more competitive, but this does make the inaccessible submachine gun with highest perk slash trait RNG, multi-mach, compete less with auto rifles and will no longer straight up outclass every other submachine gun in PvP. We all knew this was coming. Multi-mach has been completely ridiculous for a very long time now. It is about time that it got changed. So let's talk specifically about the rest of the changes that they're applying here. So they increased damage fall off by 1.5 meters. They adjusted zoom values on most viable legendary submachine guns and one exotic. So Shire's Wrath zoom is going from 17 to 16. Multi-mach with the max zoom scope, its zoom is going from 17 down to 15. Second highest zoom scope will bring it to 14 instead, putting it in line with other submachine guns. Stochastic variable, Aikolos, Seventh Seraph, Every Waking Moment, all going from 13 to 14. Aikolos, of course, already went from 13 to 14. And then Huckleberry is going from 13 to 15. Huckleberry getting a significant buff. Definitely drawing a little attention there. Making me think again about whether or not that's something that I want to be taken into the Crucible. Red the Bull certainly does have some power. So if that's a weapon that you enjoy already, it just got much, much stronger. All right. And again, just to remind you, what does Zoom do? Zoom does a lot. Zoom pushes out the range of the gun. So that means it's going to push out your damage fall off. It's going to push out your aim assist. It's going to make your gun accurate out to a longer distance. It's also going to reduce the recoil of the weapon when you're aiming down sights by a factor roughly equivalent to the zoom factor. So it makes a pretty significant difference. Zoom is super important. And this is really a buff for a lot of submachine guns that otherwise could not come close to competing. This, at the same time as the nerfs to special weapons, makes submachine guns sound really, really attractive. Really, truly attractive. Like, I'm definitely going to have to revisit submachine guns in a future episode and take a look through and see, you know, post this change, what's good? Because I think the list is going to be longer than it has been. All right. While we're not quite done with submachines, Bungie's also touching adaptive submachine guns. They are decreasing the body damage from 12 to 11.5, but keeping the precision damage the same. They're doing this because adaptive submachine guns' body shot time to kill has been 1 second for a long time. That's pretty darn good for a body shot time to kill. And if they bring in new ones with new slightly higher zoom, if they're actually, you know, somewhat usable in the Crucible, then that would be pretty strong. It'd be a pretty strong option to have. So what does this do? This takes the body shot from 1 second to 1.13 seconds. That's pretty meaningful. That puts them much more in line with other submachine guns. And I think that's probably a good balance change. They're still going to be a pretty decent option. Their optimal time to kill is 0.73 seconds, but that's with 12 crits, which is just, you know, not really realistic, not really possible. After this change, however, their accuracy adjusted time to kill is going to be 0.87 seconds with 7 crits, 7 bodies, 50% precision hit. That's pretty achievable. I think a lot of people can pull that off. And that makes these, potentially viable if they come in with some good perks. So we'll see what happens. Last but not least, precision frame hand cannons have always been good while airborne, effectively having built-in Icarus grip. This is something that we learned from Chris Proctor in a previous interview. And with the changes to airborne functionality, they wanted to preserve that feeling while translating their advantage to the new system. So the intrinsic effect of the precision frame hand cannons has been switched from a 75% airborne accuracy penalty reduction to plus 25 airborne effectiveness stat. This means that if you had a Frontier's Cry, for example, with an Icarus Grip mod in it, you would be at 19 plus 25 plus 15 equals 59 airborne effectiveness before factoring in any options from your armor or subclass. So that's pretty good for them in comparison to other hand cannons. However, this does feel like it might be a bit of a nerf for precision frame hand cannons. That plus 25 stat is definitely not the same as reducing the airborne accuracy penalty by 75%. It is just not the same. So I have to read this as a nerf to precision frame hand cannons overall. And I gotta say, I think I might be a little bummed about it. Maybe it's good, maybe it keeps them in line with other hand cannons, but ultimately, you know, what it looks like right now is that they're going to be less appealing after this change than I had hoped that they were. So, it is what it is. All right, we did it. We got through the primary weapons and the special weapons with a bit of time to spare. So let's talk about the changes to heavy weapons that are coming in Season 17. These are primarily not PvP affecting, but we're going to go through them anyway. So, machine guns still aren't where Bungie wants them to be in PvE. So they're giving them an additional buff. They've increased the damage by 40% against PvE enemies and 20% against bosses. Xenophage and Grand Overture receive this buff except for the bonus versus bosses. So Xenophage and Grand Overture are now even more effective at taking down non-boss enemies. However, they're not going to get that extra special juice against bosses where they're already effective. Whether or not this is good or bad, how much this is really going to mean, I think that's something that we want to turn to the PvE podcast to find out. So you're going to want to tune into their episodes about Season 17, one just published this week, and see what they have to say. Swords. Sword stats have been inconsistent for a while now, so we've tidied all of these up mostly cosmetically. So they fixed several inconsistencies in stat display between different swords with no gameplay impact, and they changed the charge rate of Soulless Scar, increased it from 20 to 50 to match Temptation's hook. This makes Soulless Scar noticeably better than it was. However, the caster frames remain a pretty niche choice for any content. All right, rocket launcher subfamilies weren't differentiated enough by the previous change, so we've made the differences more extreme. With this change, we expect there to be a more marked trade-off for the intrinsic tracking on precisions and a greater benefit for the other subfamilies. Relative to the baseline damage, i.e. the high-impact rocket launchers, precision rocket launchers will do 10% less damage, both the impact and the detonation. High impacts, of course, have the highest blast radius. There will be no change to their damage. And adaptive and aggressive rocket launchers will get a 10% damage buff. This appears to be completely global, so this actually is somewhat PvE affecting. It does make precisions potentially less appealing. While they do have that inherent tracking, which is very nice, reducing the detonation damage makes the blast radius even less effective, which makes it even less likely you're going to pick up a kill or leave somebody absolute and ready to get picked off. So I guess we're basically looking at high impacts with tracking, right? Max out that blast radius. Although I could see the appeal of a very high blast radius adaptive or aggressive rocket launcher in PvP with that damage buff, more likely to get the one-hit kill, even if your aim is slightly off or they dodge at the last second. So that's that. Next week, we've got a whole bunch of exotic weapon changes to talk about, as well as some perk changes. The only perk I want to talk about this week is snapshot sights. And that's because we already talked about the sniper rifles, and it just would feel weird to skip over it and gloss over it this week. So let's address it. What are they doing? They are increasing the ADS animation speed scaler from 0.5 to 0.75 for special ammo weapons. Primary ammo weapons are unchanged. So what that means is that snapshot is going to be considerably less effective on special weapons than it was before. With a scaler, the lower the number, the better. That's what it's reducing the animation speed to. So 0.5 means it's reducing the animation speed to half. Or I'm sorry, it's reducing the time of the animation to half of what it was before. So if it took 6 frames, then it would take 3 instead. Massive change. Now it's going to 0.75. So, you know, if it took 6, boy, I really walked myself into a corner with that one, right? So if it took 6 before, it's going to take about 4.25. So big difference, noticeable difference in terms of the ADS animation speed from snapshot sites. That said, they did buff sniper rifles. So a sniper rifle with snapshot should feel, they say, pretty close to the same. It might be slightly less snappy, not for sure. That said, one that does not have snapshot is going to be noticeably snappier than it was before because of the global buff. You know, this is one of those perks where it's been so mandatory that I'm not surprised that they touched it. People want their sniper rifles to be snappy. They want them to feel good to handle. And it just kind of makes sense. So with a drastic reduction in special ammo, they felt that this is the time that they could get away with it. I think they're probably right. I think people are going to migrate to fusion rifles, submachine guns, and a lot of people are just going to keep on using shotguns. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. All right, Guardians, this has been another fantastic episode. I've had a great time talking through these changes, working through them ahead of time in my notes, and kind of trying to get my thinking adjusted on them. I'd love to hear your feedback on this episode. Hit me up on Twitter at DestinyMBP and let me know what you thought. Let me know if I got something wrong. Let me know if I got something really right. I'd love to hear it. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you have a good one, and we'll see you. Peace.